Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. What a wonderful, wonderful day for us to be in the presence of one another again. I am just so elated that you all have taken another Tuesday afternoon to join in with us to hear what it is that God has to say through us. I want to take the time to formally welcome you to your radio broadcast, Prophetically Speaking, on Blog Talk Radio. I am the host of this particular broadcast, and I am Prophetess Frenoncia Balka. And along with me, as always, I have an awesome and a dynamic woman of God that always joins me, that brings us relevant and informative information, and that is none other than my co-host, Prophetess Gloria Jenkins. Prophetess Jenkins, how are you on today?
I am doing great today, praising Jesus for this beautiful day in Louisiana.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Here in the city of Houston, we have great sunshine. The temperature seems to be very moderate, and I'm just really excited about this. You know, I've said once before, I've said maybe two or three times before, I am really not a cold weather person. So I'm not a big fan of winter. However, I am well aware of the different seasons that we have to go through throughout the year. And if we're going to ever get again to the warm season, we have to as well go through the cold season. So I'm okay with going through it, but I do not like it. But I do thank God that I'm still here to be able to experience it. So I'm glad about that. So, Prophetess, I want you to go ahead and take a moment to give your shout out and send your love to those that you would like to send love to.
Go Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just greet the listeners, first of all, in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm so glad that you tune in with us today and get this. Put your expectancy out and let God begin to speak to your mind. I just want to give a shout out to my family members here in Louisiana. I have four sisters and six brothers, and I give God glory for the siblings, and I thank God for my loved ones. I have relatives here. I give God glory for them. In my church family, who I sit on the Glory Victory Full Gospel Church, where the pastors are Bishop Harold Antwine and Senior Pastor Clara Antwine. This is a church where everything happens. Everything happens. The church where we care what happens to you, and where the Spirit of God have free liberty. So I give God glory today. I thank God for the woman of God that is our host today. I thank God for her goal, her ambition, her great love for Jesus. I tell you, going to take her from many places and let her sit before great and mighty men because of our love for Christ. Amen. I just thank God again for the listeners. Put your expectancy out. Expect to hear what God has to say to you this evening, and may your day continue to be blessed. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just so thankful for everything that you have said, and I tell you, I am just always anticipating us having a wonderful show, and I've had an opportunity to take some time and listen to our previous shows, and I'm always so blessed by what the Lord has to say through us. And you know, Prophetess Jenkins, I'm at the point in my life and even in my ministry where I try my best to just give myself over to God. And so even when we do these shows, I don't take any of these words as my own. And I know you don't write them. And so whenever we are releasing these words or these prophetic utterances, it's always something that we want to look at as a word from the Lord, because God is not only speaking to the listeners, but God is speaking to us as well. So I do want to say that I have enjoyed you, and I thank God for the wonderful words that you bring. I thank God for your presence, and I thank God for the anointing that you bring to this show. And I love you, and I just give God praise to you. And so I just want to take an opportunity to give my shout out and my love. And as I said to you earlier, I love you. I appreciate you. To everyone at the Glory Victory Full Gospel Church, likewise, I love you. I appreciate you all. And thank God for everyone there in the city of New Iberia, Louisiana. And I want to give all praise and honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and just let him know that I love him, let him know that I appreciate him, and let him know that I'm getting, still doing all I can to hold up the bloodstained banner. I want to thank God for my family. I want to give a wonderful shout-out to that son of mine that I love so dearly, that brings so much revelation to my life as a mother, I'm telling you, and I thank God for him. Thank God for my parents and my siblings that have assisted me much in the work that I'm doing for the Lord. And I just want to thank God as well for my church family, which is the Harvest Time Church family, and we're under the leadership of Bishop Shelton Beatty. And I thank God for everything that has happened there at the Harvest Time Church. I want to give God praise that God is certainly moving by his power, and the word of God is reigning. The will of God is taking place. The glory of God is being revealed. Souls are being saved, set free, and delivered. People are joining the church by droves. We have really stepped into our place of evangelism, because evangelism is our love. It is our goal. It's our number one priority at the Harvest Time Church. And so I thank God that we are really going out and evangelizing and bringing in those into the house of God that need to be there. And so, again, those of you that may be listening, if you do not have somewhere to worship, and if you're just wanting to come and join in and just hear a word from the Lord, I invite you to come. Come by and see us. It's the Harvest Time Church. Our pastor is Bishop Shelton Beatty. We're located at 17770 Imperial Valley Drive in the city of Houston, Texas. And I believe that it is your harvest time. And once you come into that place that you have experienced the drought, I believe that the water of God's Spirit will rain on you. And when you leave, you will begin to see your harvest begin to sprout. So I just want to thank God for each and every one of you that are going to come out and see us on tomorrow. We start at 7 o'clock p.m. We are having our Bible study. And Sundays have been absolutely off the chain dynamic. This past Sunday, we had a wonderful, wonderful time all day long. And so for those of you that you hear me talking a lot about what's going on at the church, you also have an opportunity to join in as well. Take a look at our home site, which is theharvesttimechurch.net. When you're able to take a look at that, you go to the little tab that says watch. When you're able to go on to where it says watch, you're being able to click onto the screen where you can watch us on demand. So you'll be able to see any of our services that we've had. Click on demand, you're able to see any of them at that time. So I just want to thank God for my church, thank God for my family, thank God for my co-hosts, and listen, I want to thank God for you, the listeners, because you are the reason why we do what we do, to get the word of God out to you. So thank you for tuning in every day. Woman of God, on last week we had a dynamic show. We had a wonderful show. We had an awesome time, you and I, just really dwelling on the things of God. I had an opportunity to go back and listen. I've gotten some feedback. I've gotten some wonderful words from that show. I've been told that it was wonderful insight, some wonderful words of encouragement, and so I thank God for that. So as we were on the show and as we began to speak, as the Lord would give us to say, one of the words that came up, woman of God, as we began to talk was the word of jealousy. And you and I begin to expound on how it's apparent that jealousy is one of the most raging, one of the most seen, or sometimes unseen, shall I say. So just one of those spirits that if we allow it to, jealousy can become something that's out of control. Jealousy is ugly. Jealousy is not pretty. Jealousy makes a person that's very beautiful on the outside become very ugly because of jealousy. And so one of the things that we decided was that we're going to get back into our topic. And so for the next couple of weeks, we want you to join us, because what we're going to do right now is we're going to attempt to undress this spirit that's called jealousy. Because, you know, woman of God, I found out that sometimes we can be in a place. It does not always have to be at church. Sometimes we can be in family settings. Sometimes we can be in a restaurant. Sometimes we can be at work. We can be doing what we do on a daily basis. And we can have, if we look at jealousy as a person, jealousy can be dressed up in orange. And you would think that orange is, it is what it is. But unfortunately, when you undress them, when they you begin to talk to them and you begin to find out what's really under the orange, they really have on blue. So jealousy is one of those spirits that can be dressed up. Jealousy is one of those spirits that can hide behind a smile. Jealousy can hide behind pretty words. Jealousy can hide behind tones. Jealousy can hide behind a dance or a shout. Jealousy is one of those things that has to be undressed so that it can be recognized. And so today we're going to take the next couple of weeks throughout the remainder of this month to talk to you about jealousy. And then whenever you talk about jealousy, one of the things that we are well aware of is that jealousy has a sister. And normally when you see one, you see another. It's almost like when you see identical twins. Sometimes when you see identical twins, you see two faces. And unless you know the particular characteristics of either, you may get them mixed up. If you have two sisters and one is named Joy and one is named Jan, sometimes you may think Jan is Joy and Joy is Jan because they look so much alike. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about envy, and we're going to talk about jealousy. Those two sisters that look so much alike, they sometimes seem like they act alike. They smile alike. They talk alike. They dress alike. But unfortunately, they're two different people. And if you're not careful, you'll get one mixed up with the other, but in actuality, either of them are no good. And so, woman of God, we're going to dive into this topic on today, and we're going to talk a little bit about envy and jealousy. Woman of God, as we start this conversation, have you ever experienced being jealous, or have you ever experienced someone being jealous of you? What has been your experience with these two sisters? What can you tell us about this?
I can remember long before I got saved, I was very bold in the world, and that makes me bold for Christ. And I had such a self-assurance about myself, and the women, they envied that because I was confident in me and even became more confident after I got Christ. But I can remember people being jealous of me because of my height. I'm real tall, I'm 6 feet tall. And they said, I wish I was your height. And it was that's not a compliment, but it was a jealousy, you know. So I began to look at different people, and I began to think about the subject we're discussing today. And jealousy is a bad thing. It's a spirit. When you're jealous of another person, of what they have or what they possess, is not good. It's really not good. We not need to remember we being in Christ. I talked about when I wasn't saved, but even in Christ, I've experienced envy. And you know what I'm saying? What are you in? What are they envy for? I don't. I'm a single woman. You have they have husband, they comfortable, and it's just me and the Lord. But they have such an envy. Sometimes you can discern that spirit when it's operating in the individual, and you can discern that. You can see in because I was reading a book the other day. You said the green eye of the jealousy spirit. You know, you envy, you're jealous of that person for some reason. You know, and some people are jealous when they have everything they need, but they want more. And that's when greed comes in.
So let me ask you this, Prophetess Jenkins. Yes. When you have felt someone being jealous of you, how did that make you feel?
Very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable, especially in Christ. When we are supposed to be in Christ, and here you're jealous of another sister, another person, and that is not a very good feeling because you're jealous for no reason. The Bible talks about the spirit of jealousy, you know. It's not a very good feeling to be jealous, and I have never envied any jealous of nobody. I might look at a person, and I have to catch myself sometimes when we go, because the Bible says, don't covet what belongs to another. And I begin to look at a person, oh, I wish I had that. I wish I was there. I wish I was driving that. I wish something. And envy began to set in, and I began to rebuke that spirit. I had to rebuke because envy was trying to set in my spirit, and I guess you would say jealousy too. But I had to know that I am who I am in Christ, and they are who they are in Christ. And what we possess is because Christ gave it to us, and we should not be jealous of one another.
That's good.
Amen?
That's good. Now, one of the things I want to do as we get further into this conversation, I want to also give us a clear definition of what may be envy and what may be jealousy, because there's definitely a distinction. There's a difference, and I'm very adamant about when you recognize, it's just like if you see me walking down the street and you begin to say, hey, well, I'm not obligated to answer because my name is not Hey.
That's right.
You know, when I'm walking, I may be somewhere and you begin to whistle. I'm not obligated to respond to a whistle because that's not how I carry myself. So when you call me by my name, then that gives me an awareness of who it is that you're referring to. When you refer to me by name, it gives me a sense of obligation that I need to respond. And so I think that it's important that even as we're digging deeper, because in this year of 2015, let me say to you that we're going to go deep this year. We're going to go deep. We're going to deal with the things of the Spirit. One of the things that we're not going to do is we're not going to stay on the surface realm. We're going to go deep in this year of 2015. And as I stated last week, one of the things that has become so apparent to me, and I hope that it's become apparent to you, is that our enemy, our adversary, Satan, the devil, he's not playing with us. So if he's not playing, then it would not be advantageous for us to play with him.
That's right.
So if we're in a situation where we know that someone does not have our best interest, then the best thing for us to do is to get in a position where we're watching, where we're careful, and where we are aware of what's going on. And the only way we can be aware of what's going on, the Bible says that people perish because of the lack of knowledge. So if we're going to be aware of what's going on, we've got to be able to dive in, to divulge ourselves into getting more knowledge about this adversary that calls himself the devil, this adversary that is Satan, and this adversary that comes in so many different outfits. One of the outfits that he has in his closet is that of jealousy. And so in order for us to be able to maintain a godly walk, in order for us to be able to walk and to stay pure and to stay in a right place of right standing with God, we've got to know what we're dealing with. We've got to know who we're dealing with. Because, woman of God, one of the things I've become innately aware of is this. There are times when there's something that is called walking in error. We can be walking in error. Error simply means that there's a mistake that has been made. And that's the reason why on pencils there's erasers. That's the reason why there's something that's called whiteout, where you're able to white out the mistake and you're able to go back and do it again. And sometimes in life, we can walk in error, and we can be walking in error simply because we don't have enough knowledge to know what we're dealing with. And so we don't want that to happen. When envy rises or when jealousy rises, we want to be aware of who they are. We want to call them by their name, and we want to command them to flee our mind, flee our spirits, flee our life. And we don't want them to just flee, but we want to give them direct orders. We want them to be bound, because the Word of God tells us that whatever we loose in heaven will be loose on earth, and whatever we bind in heaven will be bound on earth. So we want to bind up the spirit of envy and the spirit of jealousy, and then we want to send them back to where they come from and command them never to return to this realm again. They don't belong here. They come from the pits of hell. So therefore, once we bind them, one of the things I like to do, woman of God, is I like to not just bind them, but I tell them, I want you to be bound and placed in chains. And then I want to send you back to the pits of hell from which you came. And then, because of the power of God that dwells in me, I command you never to return to this realm again. So let's begin to talk about let's talk just a moment about what it is that we're going to be discussing here. We're talking about envy, and we're talking about jealousy. Envy means to bear a grudge towards someone due to coveting what that person has or enjoys. In a milder sense, it means the longing for something someone else has without any ill will intended toward that person. Okay? So we're going to keep on here. Give you an example. We can have for an example. I envy that person's possessions, or I envy that person's situation. But again, let me read that definition again. It means that you can be longing for something that someone has, but you're longing for it without a will that would bring harm to that person. Okay? Envy is the emotion when you want a possession that someone else may have. All right, now that's envy. Something else that I want to bring to your attention is jealousy. Jealousy means apprehensive or vengeful out of fear of being replaced by someone else. It can also mean watchful, anxiously suspicious, zealous, or expecting complete devotion. The last is normally applied to God. An example, I am jealous that you like her over me. Jealousy is the emotion when you fear you may be replaced in the affection of someone else. So, I want us to be clear on envy and jealousy. That's our comparison chart. Those are some ways that you're able to tell the difference between the two. So this is what I want to do, and I know this is not something that I normally do, but I'm going to get quiet for just a few seconds, just a few moments. I'm just going to give you a few moments of silence, and I want you to take a moment to think about these things that I've just said to you so that you can decide, you can be able to tell if you have dealt with either of these in your life. So I'm going to give you just a few, about 30 seconds of silence. Go right ahead and think about that. Praise the Lord. Now that I've given you just a few moments to take a moment to think about envy and jealousy, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. We're going to talk just a little bit more about this. So I'm going to just repeat those two examples for you just real quickly so you'll be able to know what direction we're going in. Now, when we talk about envy, our example for envy is this. I envy her position or her situation. When we talk about jealousy, jealousy, an example would be, I'm jealous that you like them over me. So that's the example that we're looking at for the both. And so even in the Bible, we find some different examples, woman of God, as we begin to look through the Bible, we find some examples of envy and jealousy. As I was doing my study in the Word of God, I remember in the Bible in 2 Samuel 11, woman of God, I'm sure you're familiar with that particular topic when David began to look. And he saw on the rooftop there was a woman by the name of Bathsheba. Yeah. And Bathsheba was out bathing. And as Bathsheba was out bathing, he begins to inquire of who she was. And someone made it very clear to him, that's Uriah's wife. She's a Hittite, but that's Uriah's wife. Uriah was out on the battlefield. Time David was made well aware of whose wife that was. But he became envious. Again, example for envy. I envy another person's possessions or situation. So David was well aware that that was another man's wife. but because David wanted what he saw so bad. David put a hit out. Isn't that a word? My God. Sometimes that's how the enemy works. You know, when God is wanting to bless you and God is wanting, so then the enemy will use someone to say, we're going to put a hit out. We're going to put a hit out on you. Why? Because we want to take you out. We want to move you out of the picture. We want to move you out of the scenario. Why? Because of envy. So what David did, David was dealing with envy and jealousy. So what David did, he was envious because he saw something that he wanted. But then when he put a hit out on Uriah, he went from envy, he went straight on into jealousy, because now the Bible tells us, even in Deuteronomy 32:16, it says that jealousy is as cruel as the grave. And so then he went from being envious of what another man had to being so jealous that he had the man killed so that he could have Bathsheba for himself. Just one example. We have another example in the Bible, as I was reading in my Bible and doing a little study, in the book of Esther. When Esther had become queen, and Esther had become queen, and her uncle Mordecai had reared her, and Mordecai would not bow down to Haman. Haman became so frustrated. He became so angry because Mordecai said that he would only serve the one and true living God, that he would never bow his knee to another God. Haman became so angry and so frustrated with this man of God that jealousy began to come in. And you would say, well, how did jealousy come in? The reason why Haman was so frustrated with Mordecai is because he did not want Mordecai to rise up and to have a people to rise up to remove Haman out of this place of people bowing down to him. He didn't want anybody bowing down to anybody for the exception of him. He didn't want anybody bowing down to God. He didn't want anybody bowing down to nobody but him. So in actuality, when you look at this, when you really look at the depth of the story, Haman wasn't so upset because Mordecai wouldn't bow to him. It sounds to me, woman of God, like Haman had a jealousy problem. He was jealous that this man had complete obedience unto God. And he didn't want nobody else to get that glory for the exception of him. And so what he did was said, again, I'm going to put a hit out on you.
Come on.
Because you were not bowed to anybody else for the exception of me. And so then what he did was he had a plan. And he made a plan. He came up with an idea. He had a gallows to be made, meaning that he was going to hang Mordecai. But the king Ahasuerus was told what really was going on by Queen Esther. And when Queen Esther was able to get the king's ear, and when she was able to verbally show him what Haman's plan was, the king was angered. And when the king became angered, the very gallows that Haman had built for Mordecai were the very gallows that he himself was hung on. So we see some few situations here in the Word of God when we're looking at some envy and some jealousy. Woman of God, do you have anything that you want to add to that as we go into this conversation?
Hallelujah. I just want to add that envy and jealousy often travel together. What I mean by this is that when you are feeling jealous, you are often feeling envious. Envy is unpleasant as it is can be. Usually doesn't contain a sense of betrayal. Envy, you don't want to betray, you just envy. But when you move to jealousy, you want to get that which you've been jealous of.
You want to
go get that. I'm jealous of it, and that's what I want. I see it, and I'm on it. Like you saying about David. David saw the man's wife on the, taking a bath, and he wanted that. Lust came in too. Hallelujah. Lust came in. Jealousy is a complex emotion, encompass many different kinds of feelings. Many kinds, and from one of it, fear comes in, abandonment to rage, to humiliation. Jealousy does more harm than good to any relationship, whether it be husband and wife, whether it be friends, whether it be sister and brother. That spirit reigns boldly in families and people. And if we don't be careful, we can be caught in the midst of that. Jealousy is very bad. Jealousy would cause us to do something like Joseph did. When I told you, I was talking about Joseph. Joseph didn't know. He was so naive. He was only 17 years old. He began to talk about, and he was one of his father's chosen child. And he began to tell how the dreams he had and how his dad had loved him. The dad had made him a coat, and he began to brag to the brothers. And then envy set into the brothers. But then that envy changed to jealousy. Envy caused you just to envy, to want that. But then jealousy comes in, and you begin to say, I'm going to get rid of him.
Wow.
He's making it bad for us. So they in turn sold their brother to the slave. He sold his brother. And they he sold his brother because they were jealous. The jealousy had been set in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying about jealousy and envy. Jealousy always involves a triangle of individuals. It's the jealous individual, the rival, and the person whose attention is being competed for. I'm competing for your God. I want that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be careful as Christians that we don't settle. We don't walk in that dimension. The Bible talks about jealousy. We not to be jealous of nothing that God has James 3:16 says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice.
Oh.
14 says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast.
Oh.
If you must face the truth of it. You must face the truth. Overcoming jealousy is like changing any emotional reaction or behavior. It begins with awareness. You have to be aware that I'm jealous. You have to take a dart of that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I was telling you, woman of God, I'm so proud and so excited about what God is doing in your life. I'm excited. And if I can do anything to make it better, Lord, use me. Use my hands. Use my mouth. Use my finances. Whatever you want to use to make you, to have you achieve the goal that God has, the purpose that God has placed in your life. And that's what we need to do. Jealousy and anger are emotional reactions to believing what's in your mind is not true. Jealousy makes you believe something is not true.
Absolutely. It plays with your mind.
And
it comes
to your mind. You begin to jealousy. You can have the best of things. Some people are jealous of, even if they have the best cars, a nice home, and they see something somebody else have, and they jealous of that, and they want it. And that's something we as Christians have to be careful about. Because your ministry is bigger, because your church is larger, because you're doing more for the Lord. Honey, applaud that person. Pray for that person. Expect them and pray that God, they achieve all that God has given them and not walk in jealousy. That is, like I said, it's a really, really bad spirit. It's a feeling that we shouldn't let ourselves get to that point. Because if I did, First Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. You know, even when you've arrived and you have a lot of things, and God has blessed you financially and blessed you materialistic, you should not be bragging and boasting because it's not in yourself. Because if the only one we do for Christ will last.
Mm-hmm.
Only when we reckon, when we put God first, we shouldn't be boasting in what we have or what we've achieved in our life. We should be giving God the glory and say, God, it's because of you I have what I have.
Uh-huh.
And the person that's looking at you shouldn't be jealous and envious, even that person to trying to take or trying to, you know, that word is so broad. It's so broad in the kingdom of God because we, as Christians, you know the devil doesn't play fair. We know that anyway. He doesn't play fair. And this job is to keep strife and contention and all kind of mishap among the Christians and the brothers and sisters. But we as Christians need to walk our walk looking and perfecting that call up on our life, not walking in jealousy. That is a bad, bad demon. And with that jealousy spirit come all kind of other demons. When you walk in jealousy, you just don't attract jealousy. Everything. Look what David did. He not only was jealous, he was not only envy, he committed murder.
Mm-hmm.
He committed adultery. you know, all kind of other demons come in, but we have to be careful, woman of God, that we not walk in that kind of spirit and be ready to please God in all angels, in all ways, because it's all about him anyway. Amen?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think when it comes to jealousy as well, when we even begin to look at symptoms of jealousy, I think one of the things that one of the words that just really continues to ring in my mind is having a clear understanding. You know, we've seen that commercial that says a mind is a terrible thing to waste. When the Bible says in Colossians 3:1, if ye be risen with Christ, think, set your mind on things which are above. Think on things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. And I believe that when we're talking about envy, when we're talking about jealousy, we're really not having a clear understanding. Because when you see an individual, one of the things that the enemy is such, he's such a mind manipulator.
Mm-hmm.
And you see someone, and we often hear the words, you see someone's glory, but you don't know their story. And I think that when it comes to dealing and getting rid of jealousy, we've got to allow God to give us a clear mind with a clear understanding so that we can make some clear, distinct, and decisive, holy decisions. If you see someone in a place of glory, the first thing that all that should always come to your mind, what did that cost them?
Yeah, yeah.
What was the price that that person paid to be where they are? What is it that they had to give up in order to have this level or this glory that they're walking in God?
Hallelujah.
And the reason why I say that the enemy is such a manipulator, he's a mind manipulator, because what he likes to do is he likes you to dwell on the right now. When you see someone and they're able to live in a good place right now, you see them able to walk in manifestation right now. You see them walking into their destiny right now. But what you're not seeing is how long did it take them to get there?
That's right.
How many closed doors did they have to face before they got the one that was open?
Hallelujah.
How many pitfalls did they have to fall in before they were able to walk on stable ground? How many times did they have to go through a horrible situation before they were able to walk in a blessed situation? Woman of God, I'm going to give a quick testimony.
Amen.
I shared some time ago about three family members that I had that were killed in a car accident about a year and a half ago. My sister's ex-husband, his new wife, and his youngest son, which was 7 years old, they were in a car accident, and they were killed by a Federal Express truck running into the back of their vehicle. The vehicle exploded, and they were all burned to death. My nephew, my oldest nephew, which is about 26 years old now, this was his youngest brother. This was not his biological father, but this was the man that raised him.
Right.
So my nephew in life is very aware of who his biological father is. Did not always have a pleasant relationship, but now they do. Over the years, they have built a relationship, and he was able to meet his other siblings, brothers and sisters, and things of that nature. But my 26-year-old nephew, as a result of his father, which was killed in an accident, being killed, they were able to receive a substantial amount of money through the company that was responsible for the demise of the father, the brother, and the new wife.
Mm-hmm.
So at 26 years old, my nephew right now is in a good place. He's able now, he's got a home built that he and his wife and his children will be moving in shortly, a very expensive home. They're able to They have new vehicles, both of them. The children are now not having any lacks or any desires. Their college will be paid for. Everything now is in a good place. They're walking in a place of glory. However, my nephew, the one that is 26 years old, within the past year and a half, has lost three siblings at 26 years old. We went to a funeral about 2 weeks ago. His 15-year-old sister passed away. 2 days before Christmas, she was ill, and they didn't know what was wrong. They took her to the doctor, got her to the doctor, and supposedly they gave her wrong medication. We don't know. 15 years old, we went to her funeral just a couple of days ago. Year and a half ago, his 7-year-old brother was in this car with the dad, and he was burned to death, and the dad and the stepmom. Needless to say, at that time, my nephew, the one that I'm speaking about, they were living with the dad because he had a large enough home where he was allowing my nephew and his wife to stay in the home with them to try to help them to get on their feet and get where they needed to be. So they were living with the dad, seeing dad one day, the next day a telephone call, dad has been killed. So he lost those three siblings plus a 7-year-old brother. Last year, his 18-year-old brother came home from college on a break, went upstairs into his room, laid down, went to sleep, had a brain aneurysm, and died at 18 years old. So we have this 26-year-old man that has now lost three siblings, a dad, and a stepmom within a 2-year time frame. And needless to say, there's a lot of emotional fixing that God is having to do with him. Now, is he able to live in a glorious place now because he's gotten finances because of the death? Of course, all that's good. But no one is with him when he has to deal with the memories of these three siblings, of this dad, of this stepmom at 26 years old. He's lost more at 26 than many of us have encountered within the entire lifetime. So there are many times when you can look at him now and he's able to go and buy the tennis shoes that he's always wanted and live in the home that he wanted and buy his wife the vehicle that she wanted. And they're able to eat where they wanted, all these types of things, open the type of business that he said he wanted. That's called glory. That's the glory of God. They're walking in a good place right now. But if you were to allow me just to talk about all the hardships that they've had since they've been married, all the things that they've had to go through, having to live with relatives, trying to get on their feet, and trying to give what they needed to be as young people. But now you're able to see the glory. So now it's almost, if you know the story, it's not worth being jealous of. It's not worth saying, I want that house, I want that car, I want that money. It's not worth it because you're able to see what these young people have had to endure to walk in this place of glory. And so many times we look at the glory that God has released. We look at the season that a person is walking through, but we don't take the time to remove the spirit of manipulation off of our mind and realize what a person has had to walk through, the tears that they've had to cry, the sleepless nights that they've had to endure, the ridicule from people, the hatred from the enemy, all these things that individuals have had to go through to get to where they are. And you have to stop and ask yourself, is my jealousy really working? Do I really want what I think I want? Because remember, for you to say you want what somebody else has, that's you saying you want what to go through what they've gone through. And one of the things I often share with people, woman of God, is that we've heard it said that for every level, there's a new devil. And I know we have some people that may not always agree with that saying, or they may not like it being put in those words, but this is the way I interpret that. God has called me to be a prophetess. That's the mantle that the Lord has on my life. And so this mantle of being a prophetess is on my life. So that means that whatever comes my way, God has already given me what I need to handle this assignment that he has for my life.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever demonic influences or forces that come, they really don't have the authority to overtake me. Because wherever God leads, he meets the needs, and wherever he guides, he provides. God has already provided me with the faith, with the word of God, with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that's going to keep me in a stable place no matter where I am. Now, the only way the enemy can come and overtake me is if I let down my shield of faith, if I let down my shield of righteousness, if I put it down, then the enemy has the right to come and overtake me. But now, the key is God has given me everything I need to sustain me on whatever level that he's placed me on. Now, what if I decide I don't think I want to be a prophetess today? I want to be, let me just see here, I'm not going to use the word prophetess now. I want to be like everybody. I'm going to be a life coach. I'm going to call myself a life coach. Well, if that's not what God has instructed for my life, if the Lord has not come and told me, woman of God, I have called you, I've ordained you, I have told you to be a life coach. And I stepped in this arena, and I'm saying I'm going to be a life coach. Now, that says to me that I am to coach individuals through life. And we know that life is what happens as you're living. And so if you ever have an opportunity to talk to people, to collaborate with people, and begin to have a discussion with them about what has happened in their life as they're living, there are some people that have had some stories that are absolutely outrageous. I've spoken with individuals that fathers have had sexual relationships with them. I've spoken with individuals where mothers have had sexual relationships with them. I've spoken with some individuals that have had some stuff that I just say, Lord, I thank you for the little bit that I've had. And so let me give you an example. If I'm saying I'm a life coach, and I go to someone, and they begin to say something to me that just absolutely blows my mind. Absolutely blows my mind. And I'm walking in a place where God has not given me the authority. He's not given me the mantle. He is not anointed. He has not given me what it takes to walk in this place. But because I see somebody else walking in it, I decide that that's what I want. That's where envy and jealousy keeps at. I see it. I want it. I'm going to put a hit out on you to get rid of you so that I can have what I want. Although God himself has not authorized that for you. So now, here I am saying I'm a life coach. Somebody comes to me and says, I am addicted to crack cocaine, and I need you to pray me through this. Well, remember, I'm out of my league. This is not where he told me to be. So the Bible also says, lay hands on no man suddenly. So now, because I'm a life coach, I'm putting my hands on this individual. And I'm going to be big and bad, and I'm going to pray and command that this spirit of drug addiction come off of them. Well, because God has not authorized me to be there, so he's not obligated to keep me while I'm there. So now I put my hands on this person. I'm commanding the spirit of drug addiction to go. Well, guess what? I have the Holy Ghost. So because I'm filled with the power of God, that spirit just may, obey me. It may leave, but guess what's going to happen? It may enter right into me.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not obligated to me when I'm out of his will. When I have moved out of my protective covering, there'll be whatever happens, it happens. And so when we're looking at something and we're saying we're jealous or we're envious and we're coveting a place, a possession, love, or whatever, and we're saying, I want it for me, you have to begin to stop and ask yourself, What has God said to you about you? Get in the place where God has for you. Because remember, if he is not giving you the mantle for that, he's not obligated to keep you in that. So when we begin to talk about envy and jealousy, when you look at someone and you find yourself saying, I want to drive that car, don't no longer say, I want to drive that car. Say, I want to pay that car note. I want to pay that insurance.
Yeah.
I want
to
buy those tires. I want to pay for that oil change. I want to get those brakes changed. Because, you see, whenever you're saying you want something, you're seeing it from the outside in, but you've got to be able to look at it from the inside out. Be real about things. Don't no longer allow the enemy to manipulate your mind. I want that $3 million house. Okay, you don't want the house. You want that $3 million home payment. You want that mortgage. You want that water bill. You want that light bill. You want that gas bill. That's what you want. And if God is not giving you the grace to handle that in this season, you're barking up a tree that you're not able to handle. So I just wanted to put that in, my little snippet there about jealousy and envy. Go right ahead, woman of God.
I can remember I lived in Dallas for 6 years, and I remember a pastor sitting underneath the pastor, and he gave a testimony that someone had came to him and said, I love your suits, and I want to be able to dress like you and carry myself like you. And he said he looked at the man, and he began to pray, Lord, let him eat cornbread and milk. Let him eat sausage and bread. Let him, and begin to pray all the things he went through to get where he was today.
Absolutely.
I mean, hold up. I want, he said, but you asked me to pray. It took something for me to get where I'm
at. Yes.
You know, you want to envy and with the people, you see with your natural eyes, but you don't know what it took for that person to get where they're at right now. And that's what we make a mistake at, looking at what we see and desiring that and being jealous and being that envy and making the pray, oh, I want that, and I want this, and I want the other. But you don't know what it took that person to get where they are today.
Uh-huh.
Like you said earlier, you have to go through something in order to get where God is taking you. It just don't come easily. When my daughter died, and I never thought I would ever preach again, ever. My mind was... I had lost my only daughter, my oldest child. So my mind was not on doing the work of the Lord. Like you said, I didn't want to be a prophet. I didn't want to preach. I just wanted to just exist. But God said, not so, because what the enemy had meant for bad, God said, I'm going to turn it for good. And I began to walk circumspectly before God and begin to do what he has called me to do. And I walk myself out of sorrow. I walk myself out feeling sorry for myself. I walk myself out of wanting to commit murder. I walk myself out of hate and unforgiveness. And I walk right smack dab in the will of the Father. When I begin to walk, do what he said to do, and people look at me and say, how did you do it? Only with the grace and the strength of the Lord. He brought me out in order to bring me in and to do his will. It's always his will for us to do what he called us to do. It's always his will. But we have to go through some things in order to get where we need to get. He knows what it takes to get where we need to get. And sometimes he allows some things to happen, and people, instead of being jealous of what you have and don't know what you're doing at night, don't know how you're making it to survive each day, and they're jealous and begin to envy and covet it, the things that you have, not knowing what it took. Like you said, your nephew, we still don't know what it takes for him to sleep at night.
That's
he
right.
Doesn't have the riches and stuff and all the things he never had before.
Right.
But is he sleeping good at night?
That's right. That's
he's
right.
Living in the presence of his dad in the home. Is he really sleeping? Is he resting?
Right.
You know, you look at the glamorous and you look at the good and exotic. And some people love glamour and good and exotic. Want to put themselves with the Joneses and want to achieve that and that and the other. But what it takes something in order to get where that person are.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't envy. I don't be jealous of what I'm in. I am a content woman of God in the state that I'm in. Do I want other things? Yes, I do want other things. Do I want to achieve other things? Yes, I do. But I walk circumspectly before God, and he's going to take me to the place I need to get. I don't sit back wondering, I wish I had that. I wish I had this, and I'm envying the person of it. I wish I had a good husband. And those thoughts never come to my mind because I'm content in the Lord. As long as I got Jesus, I'm sure he's going to give us greater things. He's going to give us the desires of our heart. But my thing is I'm contented in the Lord because my goal is to satisfy him and to touch as many people's lives as I possibly can in my years left on this earth. I'm not looking to be jealous of him. So jealousy is a strong, strong word. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Jealousy and envy can be a constant struggle for some individuals. It can be a constant struggle for some people, individuals, and can be a unresolved past pain. They went through something. You don't know what that person went through. You got to, when you walk in jealousy, we need to search out and say, why am I jealous? Why am I envy of that person? What's missing in my life that I'm jealous and not content in the state I'm in? I'm looking at the neighbor next door and wanting their house. I'm looking at the neighbor next door and wanting to drive their car. I want to like it. You're jealous of that person. They shouldn't have how they got there, how they achieve all this. You need to be, the Bible says, to live a quiet life and mind your own business. That's the scripture say. And that's what we should be about, the Father's business. Living a quiet life, letting God lead us as he sees fit. Amen. Hallelujah. I could go on and on. Glory to God.
But everything is in the
spirit. What we're talking today is that jealousy spirit. And we as Christians, I know Chris, whoever's listening today, can't say, well, I've never been jealous. Because some way we either was jealous or envious. But we was quick to repent. Some people are quick to repent. Some people care out their jealousy and go to the next dimension, go to the next level. Before you know, they're in a whole lot of trouble.
Absolutely.
Praise
to
God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Absolutely. And we're going to be talking more about this over the next couple of weeks, but I'm going to add this in, and then we're going to move forward. But I was able to watch a television show, and when I was looking at this particular television show, this person went into prison. When they went into the prison, they went to the female unit, and they had an opportunity to speak with several of the women that were in prison for a substantial amount of time. And the majority of the women, if there were 10 women that they interviewed, 8 of those women, just about almost all of those women were in there because of a situation that they had with a man and another woman. Mm. All of the women were in there due to jealousy. Every one of the women that they interviewed, it was something about they wanted to harm the man, or they wanted to harm the woman, or they did harm the man, they put a hit out on him, or they were the ones that had the evil. All of them that they interviewed, it had something to do with envy and jealousy. And so one of the things that we have to do is we have to pull ourselves together, and we have to call it what it is.
That's right.
Speak to it and tell it exactly what we want it to do. And we're going to talk more about this because, as I stated earlier when we opened this show, we're going to go deep. It's not all so much about, the show is called Prophetically Speaking, but it's not all about going into the deep realm of hearing his voice and saying God said this and God said that. Sometimes hearing his voice is simply sharing a conversation just like this, bringing us to a place of awareness. And then when we come to a place of awareness, we have to then bring ourselves into a place of accountability. That, yes, I made aware that these are some things that I've been going through. You know, woman of God, we're going to talk more about that even on next week, because when we begin to talk about the symptoms and the signs, you know, that accompany jealousy and the different outfits, you know, that jealousy wears, and it's the reason why jealousy can be so absolutely dangerous is because it dresses up so well. It dresses up so well. And one of the worst places in the world, you know, to accompany jealousy, and it's not the only place, but one of the worst places to find jealousy is going to be in the house of God. And the reason why is because when we come into the house of God, when we enter, you know, we enter into the house of God looking for solutions to our problems. We enter into the house of God coming to find rest for our souls. We don't enter into the house of God looking for problems. We don't enter into the house of God looking for something else to have that we deal with. And so most of the time, those that come in with a pure heart, you come in with your hands lifted, with your spirit elevated, saying, God, I want more of you. And yet, you know, you have a moment like we have at our church where we go and greet your neighbor and you hug your neighbor. God, you know, you have them, God bless you. And, you know, for me, I'm a lover of God's people. And God taught me many years ago how to love, genuinely love from my heart. And so it's very easy for me to tell somebody that I love you. It's very easy for me to show the love of God because God is in me and God is love. And so I'm hugging and saying I love you and, you know, saying it from a heartfelt place and, you know, God bless you and this and that. And the same ones, you know, that have been saying God bless you, as they hug you, they put a dagger in your back. And so some of the worst, you know, one of the worst places to ever, you know, run into this evil and cantankerous spirit of jealousy is in the house of God. And as I stated earlier, we're going to talk more about this, but one of the things that the Lord had been placing on my heart so strong is that so many times the enemy uses God's people to take full control of a something that does not belong to us. The Bible tells us that the enemy himself comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Fear enters into us, and we begin to steal from Satan something that doesn't even belong to us, and we begin to take complete and total ownership of envy, of jealousy. We begin to steal just like him. We begin to take full ownership of something that does not even belong to us. And we allow this spirit to become a part of our makeup. That's just who I am. No, it's not. That's just how I, but no, it is not. That's not how God made you.
Mm-mm.
That's not the intention of God in your life. That, no, it's not. And so one of the things that we have to do is we have to change even how we speak, because we've got to get to the point, no matter how deeply rooted or embedded this jealousy and this envy has become, we've got to be able to now become accountable for what we know we possess, go deep on the inside of us, uproot this thing, and again, bind it, and send it back to the pits of hell from whence it came, because it does not belong to you. It does not. And, you know, woman of God, one of the things I share with my son sometimes, there's a story of a relative that I had. He married into the family. And particular gentleman, he married into the family, and he became an alcoholic. And this man was an alcoholic my entire life. Long as I knew him, he was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And as he became older, he developed cirrhosis of the liver. The doctor said to him that it was imperative that he stop drinking because the drinking had taken a toll on his body. So after so many years of drinking, he went ahead and he stopped drinking. And when he stopped drinking, woman of God, he became sober. And within a year of being sober, he met his demise. And the reason why is because he had drank for so long that his body had become so accustomed to being inebriated. His body, his system had become so adjusted to these foreign fluids traveling through his body that they had literally become a part of him. And when he then did what looked like was the right thing to do, his body had become so accustomed to the alcohol that when he was no longer able to do the alcohol, his body couldn't take it, and he died. He died. Now, the truth is, if he had still been alive and still been drinking, he'd probably still be here. But because he continued to take ownership of something that didn't belong to him anyway, that very thing that he took ownership of for so long eventually killed him. And that's just how we are sometimes. We continue to take ownership of something that will eventually kill you if you don't get rid of it. And the thing about it is, sometimes you can hold on to it for so long, you begin to think that this is who you are. This is a part of you. And it becomes so embedded in you that when you finally take a step to do the right thing, then you look up and it's like, wow, you've done so much damage. You've done so much damage in the body until there's really nothing more that you can do. And so let's not be like that. Let's look what we have going on the inside of us. Let's take authority over it. Let's put it out so that we can walk in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Anything else that you want to add to this conversation?
No, ma'am. I have been truly, truly, truly blessed by what we've talked about today and inspired to really recognize how the enemy operates. How he operated in our Christian life, our brother's life, and we are to bring information to them so that we all can be better at what we're doing for Christ.
Absolutely.
That we can be better, and we can recognize the enemy at first front, at the first time. We can recognize and say, hey, this is nothing but Satan, and I'm going to rebuke him. I'm going to pray for my brother, my sister. I'm going to not cover it in envy and be jealous of what they're achieving, but even encourage them to go even further. That's our goal in Christ. And God is pleased with that. When that happens in our life, God is well pleased with us. The Bible says we are to bear the infirmities. We are to pray for one another. We are to be there for one another, not to be jealous. And that's our goal. I feel that's our goal on this topic here about jealousy, that you will leave this, after we've completed our talk on jealousy, you'll leave this conversation with a greater awareness and a greater aspiration to do even better. And to recognize when there's fault or when there's anything happening in your life that's not God, you'll be able to recognize and say, hey, the women of God said, I'm prophetically speaking, that is not what we do as sisters and brothers in the Lord. So that's our goal, that we will pray, that we will bring words to the people, the listeners, that we all can be better at what we do for Christ. Amen?
Amen. That's our entire aim and our entire goal. Because, you know, we look back in the Word of God when Adam and Eve were in the garden, and they fell, and they sinned, and they brought us into a place of detriment. They brought us into a place where we are continuously, you know, man is continuously falling, and it's just, you know, it's just like it's getting worse. But I do know that we are in the world, but we're not of the world.
You know,
one of the things that I like to refer to us as, I did a study with Bishop Clarence McClendon some time ago, and he did a series on the Upside Down Kingdom. And one of the things I've been made aware of through that, it was such a blessing, been a long time ago, but it was a blessing that even in the Upside Down Kingdom, within this kingdom of God, we should be able to do everything we need within the kingdom. Within the kingdom, we should be able to have everything we need. And so, therefore, in the kingdom, if I come to you, I should be able to come to you and not be assaulted or not be staggered due to jealousy and envy. If I come to you and I say, you know, I have a situation here I'm dealing with, I want to talk to you, I want to know how to deal with this, and you can't give me proper advice, you can't give me proper assistance because you're so jealous and you're so envious of me, that should not be.
Right.
If we are part of the kingdom, then we are sisters and brothers in Christ.
That's right.
And if we are sisters and brothers, one of the things I tell you, I don't like it when my sisters are jealous of me. I don't like it when my brother's jealous of me. I don't like that. I like to be able to have a clear line of communication with my sisters. I like to know that if I need them, I can call them. I like to know that even if I don't need them, I can just call them and say, hey, look, I love you. And I want to hear them say I love you. And I want the words to be genuine. I want it to be genuine. And so when we talk about sisters and brothers, we've got to really, you know, assess our identity in Christ and find out who are we in Christ.
Amen.
Because I think so many times that's one of the largest things that we deal with, woman of God, is that we have an identity crisis. The reason why sometimes we deal with these spirits that are from the pits of hell coming to plague the body of Christ is because we have brothers and sisters that think that they're not brothers. They think they're cousins. They think that they're all, they think they're somewhere in the family. They just don't know where. You are a brother and a sister.
That's right.
And so if you are a brother and a sister, you first of all have to identify with who you are. And if you are my sister and I am your sister, and we come from the same, we have the same DNA, something is wrong when we can't get along. Something is wrong when I can't celebrate you. Something is wrong when I can't tell you you look nice. Something is wrong when I can't tell you I like your hair, I like your shoes, I like your dress, without there being some type of animosity there.
Mm-hmm.
When you can't go to the store and buy something, but just saying that you want to look nice, no, I don't want to just buy something. I want to buy something because I want to show them up. I'm going to show them. No, that's the wrong spirit. If you go buy something, you buy because that's what you want. But you don't go buy because you're trying to show up somebody else. Now, you know, and so it's like sometimes I think, woman of God, we have an identity crisis.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who we are. And so because you don't know whose you are, you have a problem with how you act. You acting like Jethro and them, but that's not your people. You've been around them, and so you picked up some of their ways. You see, and then one of the things, you know, even as a mother, that I'm really cautious about, there's some places I don't like my boy going because I don't want him bringing back any of those bad habits.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him bringing back any of those characteristics because I am your mother. And I have to drill that in him. This is your family. This is who you come from. I have to remind him of the line that he comes from. You come from a line of kings and queens. You come from a line of bishops and apostles and prophets.
Yes.
This is what you come from. So I'm not going to allow you to, you know, to pick up all that other stuff and come over here and be comfortable with it. Now, as a child, because he belongs to me, I have to do the best I can with raising him. But one of the main things I have to do is remind him of who he is. And sometimes I think, as people of God, we have to be reminded of who we are. We have to be reminded of whose house this is.
That's
but sometimes
right.
we think it's our house. No, because you're not. This is not your house. This is God's house.
Mm-hmm.
And so since he's the father, we're his children. We need to have more of his characteristics.
Hallelujah.
Stop going over yonder acting like them people, because that's not who you're about.
That's right. That's right.
Find out who your folks are. Remember who you are. Be acquainted with your DNA. And when you find out who you are, what you come from, then you pick up those characteristics. But when you go over across the street, whatever they do over there, I don't have anything to do with that. But when you come here, don't forget who you are.
That's
and
right.
So I think that's one of the things we have to remember in the body of Christ. Let's not suffer with the identity crisis, people of God. Let's not walk in something that God is not authorizing. Let's not
Hallelujah.
Be comfortable in being wrong and just be so adamant about being wrong that we have decided, I'm just going to be wrong. No.
Mm-hmm.
God is a forgiving God, but when you are wrong and you know you're wrong and you continue to do wrong, you're going to die in your wrong. And if you're not careful, you're going to wake up and you're going to be in hell.
Mm-hmm.
You will open your eyes in hell. So when we run into a situation that we know is not right, get out of it and move on. So, woman of God,
Hallelujah.
We're going to be ready to shut it down, but we want to again thank all of our listeners for joining in with us today on this episode of Prophetically Speaking. We have a couple more weeks that we're going to continue to dive into this topic, and we're going to continue to undress this dressed-up spirit called jealousy. We're going to take the shoes and the shirt and we're going to take this clothes off of it, remove that fake smile, remove all that fake hug. We're going to take all that stuff off this spirit called jealousy. Because it knows how to dress up. It knows how to look good. It knows how to get in the crowd. And you will think that it's one of us when in actuality he's not. And we don't want him a part of who we are. So we're going to get rid of that. We're going to get rid of that. And we're wearing something, you know, and I know we got to close, but I get these revelations with the worst thing in the world, woman of God, and I know you're familiar with this. When you get your kids looking good, and you know you okay. have them like you want them, and then they go off and they start acting like somebody else.
Something different. That's right.
They start acting like you haven't taught them nothing. They start acting like they don't know better. And sometimes, you know, you have to go old school. I know we're in a new day now. You know, we have time out, but sometimes, you know, like my parents used to do us, when you clown, that's where you're going to get it. You want to clown in front of everybody, so let me deal with you in front of everybody.
Okay.
Sometimes that's what God has to do when we just refuse to remember who we belong to. when we refuse to remember that who our daddy is. He says, okay, well, since you want to act like this, let me deal with you like this. When you want to keep clowning in front of everybody, then let me deal with you in front of everybody. And woman of God, and I know we have to go, but that prophetic side of me just kind of kicked up and figured out some of the things that we're going to begin to see happening in the body, because, again, we're in the last days. And right now, God, Jesus, let me say Jesus, he is identifying his own. The Bible says, let the wheat and the tare grow together, but God is the one that will do the separating. A woman of God, as sure as I am who I am, the prophetic message in me has kicked up. We are now, we're not about to, we are now walking in the time of separation. What God is about to let us see, because there's been too much mixing and mingling.
Yes.
You know, have you ever been to a mixer? And when you go to a mixer, I've been to plenty of mixers, and you go and you just kind of mix in and you just kind of talk to this one and talk to that one. And what happens, woman of God, in a mixer, you don't know who is who. You don't know what's what. Everybody gets all mixed up together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can't be like that in the body of Christ. The Bible says everybody grows together. But now I'm going to do some separating.
Hallelujah.
Won't be no more mistaken identity now. Now I'm going to let you know who is who. And I'm going to show you what's what. Glory to God. I'm going to show you who is your real brother and your real sister. And I'm going to show you who was actually planted there by Satan himself.
Hallelujah.
I had to get that out because that just hit me dead in my spirit. I had to get that out.
Hallelujah.
I said, wait today. This is the time of separation. God is about to do some separating. He's about to do some separating. So we're going to know who belongs to us and who doesn't. People of God, we thank you for joining us on today. Join us on next Tuesday at 3 o'clock p.m. Blog Talk Radio is going to be the place where you can catch us right on your internet radio station. Again, I want you all, if you have not had an opportunity, go and take a look at the tvministries.net website. You'll be able to see what we have going on. God has opened up some wonderful doors for us to go and minister throughout this year. And real soon we'll be out and about and doing some ministering. Unfortunately, right now, I'm still walking out this prophetic word with this cast on my foot. And woman of God, I tell you, I'm ready to get this cast off my foot. However, every day I just have to say, God, my soul says yes. That's all I can say, Lord, my soul says yes, because I have to get to a point where this is well, and I never have to walk through this situation again. So everyone that is listening, we thank God for you. Bless God for you. We'll be talking more to you about books and all that stuff coming up, but we've been on here quite a bit of time now. So we're going to go ahead and let you go, woman of God. As we dismiss, is there anything else that you want to add?
I'm through for 10 next week. I am excited.
Okay, well, let me just add this one thing for you, because I know you probably forgot about this, but on Tuesday night, there in New Iberia, Louisiana, you can go to the Glory Victory Full Gospel Church, and tonight they're going to be having Bible study. Woman of God, what time is it going to be starting?
It's going to be 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. So if you're there in the area, you just want to hear a word from the Lord, need to be in some anointed worship, just hear what God has to say to you, go right there, join them. What's that address?
It's 321 Halfen Street here in New Iberia, Louisiana.
All right. And so that's going to be it for today. But until next Tuesday at 3 o'clock p.m., we want you to know we love you. We appreciate you for staying with us for this entire hour. God bless you. And next Tuesday at 3 o'clock, we'll be joining you. Woman of God, I love you. And God
I love you too.